Hi, this is the Frihof Institute of Progressive Halakha. I'm Rabbi Mark Wyshovsky with this edition of the 12-Minute Shiur. It's number 2, entitled The Ins and Outs of Dwelling in the Sukkah. You might want to follow along with our source sheet, which you can find right next to the link to this audio on our website. Did you ever wonder why there's no bracha for building a sukkah? Various answers are possible, but the standard one is that the ikar, the essence of the mitzvah, is not to build a sukkah, but to dwell in it. And we do have a bracha for that. Asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu leshev basukkah. Blessed are you who has commanded us to dwell in the sukkah. Leshev being an old rabbinic Hebrew term that is the equivalent of the modern Hebrew lashevet, which means to sit or to dwell in a place. It all goes back to the biblical text, Sefer Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 23, verse 42. That's on lines 2 through 5 of the source sheet. Basukot teshvu, shivat yamim, kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael yeshvu basukot. You shall dwell in booths, or sukkot, for 7 days. All Israelite citizens shall dwell in booths. There's that word teshvu or yeshvu. So if to dwell is the point, what do we mean by dwelling? How do you fulfill this particular mitzvah? Well, before we get to the text, let's specify 2 key terms. You'll see them on line 21 of the source sheet that are going to be important for the rest of our discussion. Dirat Arai and Dirat Keva. Dirat Arai is a temporary dwelling, which is what a sukkah is, since you build it specifically to live in it for only a week. Dirat Keva is your permanent dwelling, your house or your apartment. Now, the text from the Talmud, Tractate Sukkah 28b, lines 9 through 19. Tanu Rabbanan, kol shivat yamim adam osei sukkato keva uveto arai. A baraita teaches that one makes one's sukkah a permanent dwelling, keva, and one's house a temporary dwelling, arai, all 7 days of the festival. Ketzad, how do you do this? Well, if one has beautiful household implements, one brings them into the sukkah. If one has fine bedding, one brings it into the sukkah. One eats, drinks, and spends one's time in the sukkah. Now the last line of the Talmud text, Manahani Milei, how do we know this? Ditanu Rabbanan Teshvu Ke'en Taduru. We learn in another Baraita that the word Teshvu in the biblical verse, you shall dwell, means taduru in the same manner that you live in your dira, your house, the rest of the year. This phrase, teshvu ke'en taduru, you shall dwell, means in the same manner you live in your house, is key to the halachic definition of how we're supposed to live in the sukkah. Namely, you treat it as though it is your house. So, practically speaking, what does this mean? Well, let's take a look at the next passage from the Shulchan Aruch. That's on lines 25 through 30. Ochlim v'shotim v'shenim basukkah kol shiva. One eats, drinks, and sleeps in the sukkah all 7 days, day or night. One may not even take a brief nap outside the sukkah, but it is permitted to eat a snack, achilat arai, temporary eating, literally. It's permitted to eat a snack outside the sukkah. While we're encouraged to spend as much time as possible in the sukkah during the festival, the major activities of concern are eating and sleeping. We'll get back to sleeping in a moment. Let's focus first on eating. We eat meals in the sukkah, but we may eat snacks outside the sukkah. And the reason for that leniency is explained by the authoritative commentary, the Mishnah Brura, in the text on lines 33 through 37. Achilat arai deze lo chashiv l'chayavo basukkah. A snack is not enough to obligate one to eat it in the sukkah. For even when you live in your house, we apply the rule teshvu ke'en taduru, right? You'll frequently eat a snack outside the house. Therefore, you can eat a snack, a meal on the go, outside the sukkah during the festival, because you shall dwell means You live in the sukkah the way you live in your house the rest of the year. Now, what exactly is a snack? Well, it can consist of pretty much any food, but be careful about eating bread outside the sukkah, since bread in any appreciable amount is koveh su'udah. It tends to turn the act of eating into a fixed formal meal, which would therefore require a sukkah. Now, the Shulchan Aruch continues in the text on lines 39 through 43. Yaldu geshamim, hare ze nichnas l'toch habayit. Should rain fall, and we're talking about during a meal, should rain fall, one may leave the sukkah and go into the house. The same logic of teshvu ke'en taduru applies when it rains. If your roof and ceiling should leak in your real house during the year, you'd surely move to another room to eat, right? Well, the same thing is true of the sukkah. Teshvu ke'en taduru. If it rains, you leave the sukkah, go someplace where it's not raining on you. Now, there is a chiyuv, an obligation, to eat in the sukkah on the first night of the festival and on the night of Shabbat, even should it be raining. But if it is raining, you can do a quick kiddush and hamotzi in the sukkah, finish the meal inside, then return to the sukkah for a really quick birkat hamazon, and be sure to wear your raincoat and hat. Now let's get back to sleeping. We've read that one must sleep in the sukkah all 7 days. So why do so few observant Jews actually do that? Well, it turns out that this is a leniency that's been practiced by Ashkenazic Jews, those whose communities originate in Central and Eastern Europe, a leniency that they have practiced for a long time. The gloss by the great Ashkenazi Rabbi Moshe Isserlis to the Shulchan Aruch, and that's the text on lines 46 through 56, offers two explanations for it. The first is that it's just too cold in the countries where we live to sleep in the sukkah. If your house was cold the rest of the year, you'd move out, right? Okay, same with the sukkah. Isserlis himself favors the second explanation, namely that there isn't enough privacy in the sukkah for one to sleep there with one's spouse, kederech shehu dar kol hashana, the way that one lives the rest of the year. In other words, both explanations, it's too cold or there's no privacy, rest upon the principle teshvu ke'en taduru. Now, most authorities favor explanation number one. It's too cold at night in the sukkah, and that's why we don't sleep there. The next two texts, lines 62 to 71, present the logic. We begin with the Shulchan Aruch, which tells us that the mitzta'er, the person who suffers serious discomfort by dwelling in the sukkah. And what does that mean, serious discomfort? Well, it's too noisy, it's too smelly, it's too bug-infested, that sort of thing. The mitzta'er is patur, or exempt, from the chiyuv, the requirement to dwell in the sukkah. And why is that? Well, the Mishnah Brura comes to explain this in the way that we have come to expect. Mitzta'er patur min ha-sukkah v'chuleg de'ke'en taduru ba'inan. It's because we define the mitzvah according to the principle, you shall dwell, which means in the same manner you live in your house. And during the rest of the year, one would not live in a place that causes one serious tsa'ar, or discomfort. Now, there's a lot more to the principle teshvu ke'en taduru, we dwell in the sukkah in the way we live in our house, and many more details in the halakha about it. But hey, we call this the 12-minute shiur for a reason, and we're going to run out of time if we spend much more time on those details. But we can't leave without looking at one more text. This is from the early 20th century Aruch HaShulchan. You'll find it on the source sheets on lines 72 through 87. The Aruch HaShulchan speaks about the idea behind this principle, teshvu ke'en taduru. He's specifically talking about the exemption from the requirement to eat in the sukkah when it's raining, but his explanation, the logic of that explanation, would apply to anything, to any kind of exemption from any kind of activity that we might be conducting in the sukkah. And this is what he says. There are circumstances in which one is entitled to adopt a more stringent standard of observance. That is, one could be machmir al atzmo, and say, hey, I'm exempt from the requirement to eat in the sukkah because it's raining, but I'm tough, I'm strong, I'm going to go out there and do it anyway. But this is determined according to each specific case, and an example of this is sukkah. We do not apply this principle, in other words, to the mitzvah of sukkah. Why not? Well, the Torah defines the mitzvah as follows. Teshvu ke'en taduru, you shall dwell in the same manner that you live in your house. It obviously follows that if you can't dwell in your sukkah in the manner that you would live in your house, then it's not a sukkah at all. You would not continue to dwell in your house if rain were to fall inside or if other unpleasant things were to happen. If so, then when rain falls, a sukkah ceases to be a sukkah as the Torah defines it. In other words, the requirement to dwell in the sukkah is not something over which we can say, let's be machmir, let's ignore the leniencies, the exemptions, the exceptions, let's go out there no matter how wet or unpleasant it is. No, it has to do with the essence of the mitzvah. A sukkah is the tachlif, the substitute for your dirat keva, your fixed dwelling. And when the sukkah, because of conditions like rain or cold or other unpleasantness, cannot be like your fixed permanent dwelling, it ceases to be a sukkah. As the Aruch HaShulchan concludes, thus there is no greater ignoramus, the word is hedyot, than one who insists upon sitting in the sukkah in the rain. The moral of the story, don't be a hedyot. Don't think of these things as leniencies or exceptions. Think of them as part of the mitzvah itself. To dwell in the sukkah means live there the way you live in your house the rest of the year, and do come in from the rain. This has been the Freehoff Institute of Progressive Halakha, the 12-minute shiur number 2. Thanks for joining.